NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Kia ora, my name is Andrew, and I'm in Die Die Die.
I'm Lachlan, and I'm also in Die Die Die.
And we are about to release our seventh album, This Is Not an Island Anymore.
This is your seventh album, which is so amazing. What were some of the ways that you made it unique or different to past albums, especially after publishing and exploring so many different sounds?
For me, I mean, Lockie left the band after our fourth album, Harmony, when we were in the middle of recording it. And so we'd done a few records, which I wasn't really that, like, which were quite like overdone, and I think for this record I kind of wanted to do something a little bit purer, like, you know, we could play all the songs live. That was one really big important thing for me, to make sure that we could actually play them, try and not like polish things too much, so like, you know, there's not much editing. And yeah, I just wanted it to be a really good reflection of the band.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you nailed that. That's exactly, yeah, I think we got there. We went straight to tape and yeah, ended up at Roundhead doing a few days. And
yeah, we were supposed to go to Chicago in July 2020. My years are getting really blurred, but obviously COVID changed that. And then we waited like 5 months to see if we could go to Chicago. And obviously we couldn't go to Chicago, but we just still wanted to release this record and record it. And then we kind of, it was actually really awesome because we did like two songs, and we, you know, met with Stephen Marr, and we actually really worked really well together, which was a really nice surprise.
Yeah, so do you think staying in Tamaki Makaurau had any influence on how the songs ended up sounding?
Oh, for me, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it really helped being here and like settling in. And I mean, I look back fondly on pretty much all of the art from all aspects of recording. There's sort of like nostalgic moments, but even for this one, I mean, we had a really boring day. I don't think I've ever had a boring day in the studio. That last day in Roundhead was extremely boring, like because we were finished and we were trying to find things to do.
Yeah.
And then Lachlan and I went to Earwig on the shore to record some vocals, and like that was a really quite special time. It was just before the birth of my son as well, so it was quite a nice little thing.
That was great to all be making music together and not having any external pressures. We just did it how we wanted, and Stephen was just there to make it sound great, and yeah, pretty happy with it.
I feel like I need to clarify the boring comment, but I was meaning like, you know, we had 3 days and we recorded everything in the first 2 days, and then we just had 3 days we were just sitting around not doing anything, going, could we get a refund for today? Yeah,
you did do that guitar,
yeah,
that
that's true,
jam, which
is on the album.
Yeah,
and actually also 15 years too, that's also on the album. So maybe I should stop saying that it was a boring day. It was actually a very productive day.
Totally. There's a few good ones, but
yeah. And talking about Tamaki Makaurau having an influence on the tracks, are there any artists or close friends that also helped shape the album?
I think my partner, Tina, she did the artwork, and I think that's definitely been inspiring. And like, you know, we live in Takaparawha in Auckland, you know, and one of our songs is, it's an instrumental song, you know, because I always walk on Bastion Point like every day in Takaparawha. So that was definitely a bit of an influence for me. And then, I mean, Lockie and I both had our sons. You know, both our son names of our sons are etched into all of our records.
Yeah, it's definitely a change of ourselves, just even just on a personal level, not just the band. So this album is especially quite special for us.
I mean,
staying true was the main focus, and just like kind of having fun, which was.
I mean, when we started writing this album, you know, like all three of us went up to Dargaville for a week and rented a house. You know, there's no way like our lives we can really kind of do that now, you know, with young families and stuff. So it kind of shows how different our lives have changed since we started even recording the process of this record to now. Don't know why I put that in there, but it's kind of true if you think about it. Yeah.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Well, the first song we are listening to is This Is Not an Island Anymore. Take me through this track.
Musically, how did we come up with this song?
I think it was the bass line was first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the chugga chung chung.
Yeah, the song had a working title called Chugga Chung Chung for a long time because it sounded like that.
Yeah, I think we were just having some fun with some different time signatures and stuff. And that's boring, so I won't talk about that.
Are you sure?
I kind of want to, but no. Mikey should talk about that.
Yeah.
We wanted to do something that was like brutally us, but also trying something a bit different. And I feel like we did that with that track.
Yeah. And I mean, lyrically, the song's about like your personal consequences. You know, you can't be so self-involved. You know, you have a lot more carry-on effects for your own actions. And if you don't sort that out, it's going to come back and bite you, man. Kind of thing. And then it can be on a micro level, on a personal level, or it can be on a macro level, on a countrywide situation. So yeah, that was my thought process at the time when we were putting this record on that song together, I should say.
Don't feel any pain.
Never Tire Looking at the Sun. So I really like the Skeptic song, Never Tire Looking at the Stars. So I really wanted to play that song. And I was talking, it's funny because on the song, Nathan Haynes plays the saxophone and, or is it alto sax? Anyway, he plays some horns on it. And we've never had any horns at any Die to Die record. And me and him were actually talking about how this is kind of about like the insanity of behavior, you know, and particularly like, you know, came like an addiction, sort of that sort of side of things. And me and him were talking about this. So it was quite good to get him playing the saxophone because me and him were talking about this sort of certain behavior. And also, I just think it's really funny, you know, having Nathan Haynes playing on a punk rock song is quite amazing. If we had talked to 17-year-old Andrew about that, I would have said no way. So I think that's quite cool.
He did such a good job of like, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does.
He's such a powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
Put some distortion on that sax. And
yeah, it's definitely not smooth jazz, but he did, yeah, it was so amazing.
Nailed it, so good.
Yeah. So the song's called Vanish. That's my hometown, Marcus. Well, actually, musically, I remember when we wrote this song, mm-hmm. we'd just come out of lockdown, and it was our first band practice after the first lockdown.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. because I recorded it on my phone and we hadn't practiced together and we had the weird time signature, which I'm sure Lachlan will want to expand on again. And then we just really couldn't play it for a wee while because we actually, I think we went back into another lockdown. But lyrically, you know, there's a Queen Victoria statue in my hometown in Dunedin, and she always gets her face painted red or vandalized. And all through my life, that statue has been vandalized, you know. And there was just that really amazing, I mean, Marcus Lush talk, you know, dealing with some Te Reo Māori, you know, talkback radio and how he handled it. And so basically, I don't know, it was just sort of South Island backwards kind of things and the culture of what was kind of going on at the time. So, you know, we had to ask Marcus Lush if we could use the sample of, you know, that's my hometown, Marcus, you know, and yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm totally not explaining this right, but, you know, it's, yeah, I think
it's thematically with what you're saying.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I could redo that again, but, you know, I don't know. I kind of, it just sort of, for some reason, I just saw this, you know, these really old people complaining and then, you know, vandalizing. It was just, you know, and then obviously I personally want to remove a lot of sort of colonial monuments, you know, from around. You kind of, yeah, so that was that.
Yeah, no, totally. I thought that the radio piece is hilarious in that section of the song. And yeah, I don't know. It's a good track.
Yeah, it's fun, really fun to play live too. It's quite simple and fun, but I always forget the guitar part, but I've remembered it now.
Yeah, it sounded great.
Yeah, thanks.
We were.
The next track we are listening to and talking about is 8 Months in the Lighthouse. What were you exploring with this track?
So I believe Mikey and I, we watched, after the first lockdown, we went to watch that film, The Lighthouse. but Andrew has never seen it.
I've still never seen it, yeah. No.
So it just kind of started as the sort of seed of an idea about someone living in the lighthouse and being super selfish and not seeing... Sorry, I'm not explaining this very well. Anyway, that was the seed of the idea.
Yeah, and well, how I took it was there's like a really selfish person living in a lighthouse. And then I started thinking about the pandemic and anti-vaxxers. And I mean, I don't want to go into that. People can have their own opinion. But, you know, it was the same sort of thing, really. It was like I was just imagining this selfish man, and it is a man, living in a lighthouse, totally only thinking about themselves and, you know, actually having no idea of their, you know, they've got a, you know, wouldn't say, it was basically, there's like a line in the song where it's like, you know, I worry about myself when the machines don't work. But, you know, he's not thinking about all the people who are like wondering about keeping the lighthouse going, you know, and the lights on, the, you know. So, you know, I was thinking about that in the pandemic and, you know, the spread of COVID and blah, blah, blah. And that's that song.
But it's fun, like musically, it was quite different for us because we tried to do a few different dynamic things. Like I think on this album, it's quite a loud one, but we also tried to have a lot of small moments.
Yeah,
that was one of those ones where we pushed the boat out with being a bit quieter.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
just so we could be louder.
Yeah, it was that song was like super fun to play live. Like we did a tour sometime. The last tour we did, and I remember it was like super fun to play live because of the dynamics in the song.
When life
Lachlan.
What is it about though?
It was about Don Brash.
Okay, I'm gonna introduce it first. So this song is Imagine Spending So Long Making Other People Feel Like Shit, and it's about
it's not just about Don Brash, but I did think I thought a lot about Don Brash when I was writing this song. Yeah. I think I'd just say it's about Don Brash. It was like, you know, it was I was thinking about, you know, musically, okay, here I go, I'll try and do a topic off. It was like another song which we'd have a lot of fun playing live because it was in a funny time signature as well, which you can talk about if you want.
It's all right, it's kind of boring, but yeah, it is a little bit different to what we usually do. It is quite repetitive, which is also fun.
And then, you know, the lyrics are like, you know, I'm not a gambling man, but, you know, I'd place a bet that, you know, Don Brash is not a very nice person because he's just spent so long just going out of his way to try to make people feel like shit, just in many, many ways. And then those are pretty much the lyrics. It's basically like just the statement. I was just like the Hobson's Pledge and just in the bin, you know, I just don't understand it. And, you know, so I just wanted to write a short little song about it. And then there we did. We were actually going to call the album Imagine Spending So Long Making Other People Feel Like Shit, but then we thought it was a bit...
Yeah, we couldn't quite nail the artwork.
We couldn't quite nail the artwork.
Because it was like, we were like, let's just have that, Imagine Spending So Long Making Other People Feel Like Shit. And it was really hard to fit on a cover.
It was really hard to fit. Yeah, so that was going to be the name of the album. And yeah, it's a lot of words.
But I think a few record labels were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think they would too. Yeah, yeah. They've really lost it, but hey, it's all good. It's
fine to lose it.
It's fine to lose it, yeah.
I prefer the new album, the current
title.
Title.
Yeah, it's me too. Well, it's too late now.
Imagine spending so long, making other people feel like shit.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.